Normally, I would probably preach this message right before we observe the Lord's table, but I have an experimental message that I really want to take some time with in the next hour, so I'm going to preach it next, and I'll preach this one now. God ordered Moses to build the tabernacle and all the things associated with it according to the pattern that God showed him in the mount. Now, why did he do that? Well, Hebrews 8:4 says, at the time that the Hebrew writer wrote Hebrews, he said, on earth there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. That's the purpose. They serve for the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. All of these things are a pattern of heavenly things, a figure, a picture of heavenly things. So this is where we find that it's good for us to look at the things of these in the tabernacle and see Christ in these things. Today we'll look at the high priest and his garments, and even they picture Christ. Now, our subject is Christ our holiness. Christ our holiness. Now, most in religion say that holiness, sanctification, that holiness and sanctification, same thing, that they're partly of the sinner and partly of Christ. Now, is that offensive to you? It's offensive to a believer. Why? Because that steals the glory that belongs to Christ. Christ is our sanctifier, and Christ is our sanctification. Listen to Hebrews 2:11. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Christ is our sanctifier. And then we're told in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that of God is Christ made unto us sanctification. He's our sanctifier and our sanctification. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 1:31, the purpose is that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So if a sinner attributes part of his holiness to man and part to Christ, he's glorying in man rather than in the Lord. He's stealing Christ's glory. That's why it's offensive to you that have been truly sanctified, because men are stealing Christ's glory. Christ Jesus the Lord is the sanctifier and the sanctification of his saints. And I want to show you that today in the priest's garments. First of all, in the robe and the coat. And then secondly, in the hem of the robe. And thirdly, in the mitre that the priest wore on his head. Now let's look at this robe and this coat. Verse 31, Exodus 28, 31. It says, and thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be a hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a habergeon, that it be not rent. Verse 39 says, and thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. Now the coat here was worn right next to the body. It was worn next to the body under the ephod. And it was made of fine linen. Fine linen. And then the robe that was worn over the coat was olive blue. So you have a white fine linen undergarment, the coat, and then you have the robe over that was olive blue. Now, together, they typify what our Lord Jesus Christ had to be in order to be our sanctifier and our sanctification. They typify what he had to be in his person as the sanctifier and the sanctification. What did he have to be? He had to be perfect God and perfect man in one person. And that's what we have pictured here. The white linen of the coat speaks of Christ being the perfect man. He is the perfect man. Christ, our holiness, is the only perfect man. As our head, his people are what he is. He's our head, and so we are what he is. He's perfectly holy through and through. And in him, we're perfectly holy. And so we read in Revelation 19:8, the white linen is the righteousness of the saints. This is our perfection. That's what the white linen pictures. It's the righteousness of Christ by which he sanctified his saints. Now, our first head was Adam. Adam sinned and plunged the whole human race into sin and death. So being born of Adam, in his corrupt seed, we're corrupt by nature. Our sin nature's corrupt. But we have to have a perfectly holy heart. We have to be perfectly holy before God with a perfectly holy heart, or God will not accept us because he's holy. Now, the head of God's elect is Christ. And he is the only perfect man. He's sinless in heart. He's sinless in his nature, his heart, his nature. And there was never a time when his nature was corrupted. Even when he was made sin for us and hung on the cross, his nature remained holy. He always, in holy faith, looked to his Father. Now this robe, all of blue, pictures Christ as God. We remember we saw before that blue, like the heavens, is to point us to the heavens. He's the Son of God come down. So the blue ephod, the blue robe points us to Christ Jesus, who is God. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God came down to save his people. God came down and became a man to do for his people what we could not do for ourselves. God came in human flesh. That's unchanging love. That's unchangeable love. That's mercy that he came to where we are from heaven. And so Christ Jesus is the God-man mediator. That's, he had to be God and perfect man in order to be our holiness. And he is. So all Christ's works as a man are eternal because he's eternal God. Everything he accomplished for us can never be undone. It's eternal because he's eternal God. That's why this ephod couldn't be rent in two. That's the point here. When, you know, it had this binding around the neck of it, so it couldn't be rent in two. This garment actually had no seams in it. We read of Christ's righteousness being without seam. And this garment had no seams in it whatsoever, and it could not be rent. Christ is holy and righteous through and through, and that can never be changed because he's God. Go with me over to Hebrews 8. Let's look at this. Christ accomplished our redemption. And so every believer right now has eternal redemption. Redemption eternal. Look here in Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now, the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have Brethren, right now we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. The God-man mediator right now is in heaven at God's right hand as our great high priest. Think about that. We have someone representing us in heaven with God right now. Look at Hebrews 9, verse 12. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You see this redemption? It's eternal because He's eternal God. Now, when Christ is formed in us in regeneration, when He's formed in us in regeneration, that's when of God Christ is made unto us sanctification. That's when we behold He's really our sanctifier and our sanctification. Look at Hebrews 10 and verse 10. We're not sanctified by our will, we're sanctified by His will. Look here, Hebrews 10. Look at verse 7. Then said I, this is Christ speaking, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it's written of me, to do Thy will, O God. We couldn't. So He came to do the will of God for His people. Now look at verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified. We are sanctified. We're made holy and separate, made perfect through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Look down at verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected. You could just as easily put, He has sanctified. He has made holy. He has perfected forever. See there? He had to be a man so He could sanctify us. And because He's God, it's forever. Sanctified, perfected forever, them that are sanctified. Them that are sanctified. So Christ alone is our sanctification in heaven. He's our holiness in heaven, that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. When we're chastened, why are we chastened? That we might continue to be partakers of His holiness. Not of a holiness that's of our own, His holiness. And He is within us our holiness. He is what makes the new man within us holy. It's Christ Jesus. So, the same as Christ's righteousness alone covers our nakedness, so His holiness alone is our holiness. Not anything of us. It's all of Him. Now, secondly, how are we made sanctified? How does this sanctification come to us? We're dead sinners. We can't do anything. So how are we sanctified? How are we made holy? Well, we see this in the hem of the robe. Look here in Exodus 28 and verse 33. And beneath, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet. Now remember what the blue, purple, and scarlet was? Blue, God from heaven. Scarlet, man who could bleed. Red, scarlet. And you put those together as the God-man. Purple, He is royalty. He is the king. He's the king priest. All right, look. So they made these pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, and that is before the people, that he die not. So now, we know a pomegranate is a fruit. Pomegranate's a fruit. And all fruitfulness, Scripture says, all fruitfulness in a believer comes from Christ the Lord. It's from Christ ministering to us. Psalm 103 speaks of Christ as the blessed man. And it says this, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Remember, Christ said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. He's the tree. And he brings forth fruit. He makes dead sinners alive in his season and brings forth fruit within us in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know what what God calls you and I as his church collectively here as the church of God? You know what he calls us? Listen to this. From Song of Solomon 4:12, he says, A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. We're an orchard of pomegranates. We're the fruit of Christ. Christ made us fruitful. Now, how does he do this? How does he bring forth this fruit? He does it through the preaching of the gospel. We're filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. That's Philippians 1:11. How is that done? It's done by the golden bell. It's done by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. That's what the golden bell represents. Look at verse 35. It shall be upon Aaron to minister. What is our gospel? What do we preach? Our message is how Christ came not to be ministered to, but how that he came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's our entire gospel. He's still ministering to us through the preaching of the gospel. Look here. And his sound, verse 35, and his sound. What's the sound of Christ, our high priest? It's the sound of the gospel. His sound shall be heard. The gospel shall be heard. When he goes in into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out before the people, this gospel is being heard. That he die not. That he die not. This golden bell represents the preaching of the gospel, because that's how the fruit's brought forth. The golden bell, the pomegranate, golden bell, pomegranate, all fruits brought forth by this joyful sound. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And to a regenerated child of God, to one Christ has made to be his fruit and has made fruitful, the gospel's a joyful sound. Like a little tinkling bell. The angel said, Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's what the gospel is. For unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This golden bell was upon Aaron as he ministered. And so we preach concerning the ministry of our great high priest, Jesus Christ the Lord. That's our message. Christ ministered to his people when he walked this earth, accomplishing our redemption, redeeming us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us. He was ministering to us on the cross. He was saving his people from our sins. He bled in order that he might fulfill the everlasting covenant of grace. Remember when he handed the wine to them, he said, This wine represents the New Testament, the everlasting covenant of grace in my blood. It's written in his blood. That means it's sure and it's certain, brethren. Our resurrected high priest continues to minister. He's not through ministering. He's going to get all the glory for making us righteous and for sanctifying us. And he's going to sanctify us through the preaching of the word. Turn over to Galatians 3. This is where we see this so clearly. When Paul was trying to correct the believers in Galatia, They were being told they have to go back to the law to sanctify themselves. But look at how Paul, the Spirit of God used Paul to say this, what I'm telling you. Christ is our sanctification, and he sanctifies us through the preaching that declares his faithful ministry and how he does all for us. Look here, Galatians 3, verse 2. This only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit? Were you born again by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Were you hearing about the works of the law or were you hearing about Christ's faithfulness when you were born again? Are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? You know, that's what preachers say. Once you're regenerated and once you're born of God and you've been sanctified, now you have to go back to the law and perfect that by your works. Paul said, are you so foolish? How'd you begin? You began by hearing Christ preached. You began by hearing the faithfulness of Christ declared and the Spirit of God entered in and you were born of God. Do you think this is going to be completed and you're going to be brought to the end by going back to the law? No. Look here. Look at verse 5. He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit. Who is that? That's Christ. He's our high priest. Remember our text says, these bells are upon him as he ministers. He ministers through this gospel to us. And look, and Christ worketh miracles among you. He ministers the Spirit to his child through the gospel, and he works the miracle of regeneration. He works the miracle of sanctification, making you a new creature. Doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's by the hearing of his faithfulness. Even as Abraham believed God. How was he sanctified? How was he made to believe God? And accounted righteousness. How? Well, it wasn't by the law because the law wasn't given for 430 years later. So Abraham certainly didn't have the law preached to him. What did he have preached to him? The faithfulness of Christ. And Christ ministered the Spirit to him and worked the miracle of regeneration in him, making him holy and setting him apart. You get that? You see that? And so we don't change from this method of grace. We don't go back to the law. We continue hearing Christ preached. And he continues ministering to us the Spirit and keeping us separated unto him all our days. Now, this gospel that we preach is delighted in by the whole heavenly host. I love to picture this. As the gospel's being preached right now, Hebrews 12 says, you've not come to the mount that might be touched, it quaked with fire. You've not come to Mount Sinai, you've come to Mount Zion. You've come to the church of God, the spirits of just men made perfect. And right now, remember the high priest, he goes in into the holy place before the Lord, and his sound is heard before the Lord. Right now in heaven, the Lord hears his Son being exalted. And all the host of men made perfect there, all his children made perfect there, they hear this message of Christ made perfect, Christ exalted in perfection. His perfection is preached. And also, when he comes out before the people, his sound is heard. You and I hear it right here too. And so you have all heaven and all of us sitting here all looking at Christ, all looking at Christ. That's a beautiful picture, I think, don't you? That's what's really happening when the gospel is preached. All eyes are on Christ. That's why we can't stand to hear a message that points us to ourselves and gives us a work to do, because that's turning eyes to us. We want all eyes on Christ. Now, the purpose of preaching is, it says there in Exodus 28, in verse 35, the last phrase says, that he die not. Now, you've probably heard this before. I'd heard this before, too. And he'll say, well, he had those bells on him so that as he ministered, they could hear the tinkling. And when he went into the holiest of holies, as long as they heard the bells tinkling, they knew he was alive. If the bell ever stopped tinkling, they knew he had died. That can't be what it was for. That can't be what this meant. Because when he went into that holiest of holies, that high priest pictured Christ our high priest. And Christ our high priest didn't enter the holiest of holies and die. He'd already died. He's the Lamb that had already died. And he went in as our holy high priest, having accomplished eternal redemption for us. So that can't be what it pictured. What does it mean then? Apostle Peter said this, I will put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them and be established in the truth, I'm going to keep you always hearing Christ crucified so that he won't die in your memory. He won't die as your focus. He won't be put out of your mind. You will always have your focus on him. That's why Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. It's why he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's why he said, as this joyous sound goes forth, we speak wisdom. We speak wisdom, Christ our wisdom, in whom is all wisdom. And it's wisdom among them that are perfect, among you that are sanctified. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The world of unregenerate men can't understand this mystery we preach, but you understand it. If you hear, look at Psalm 89. I want you to see this. If you hear and you rejoice in this gospel, in the sound of this golden bell, look here what God says about you. Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. If you know this joyful sound, you're blessed. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. You see that? That's what this gospel is all about. We rejoice in him. We glory in him. And he won't ever let Christ die in our thoughts, in our heart, in our memory. He's going to keep us always in remembrance of him. Now lastly, let's go back to our text in Exodus 28, and we'll look at the mitre, and we'll see right here how that Christ is our holiness. Now, he's the God-man, so he met all the qualifications to be the sanctifier and the sanctification. He is the one who ministers to us through the gospel by which he sanctifies us and brings us to a belief of the truth through the Spirit. He ministers the Spirit to it. Now we're going to see him as our holiness right here. Verse 36, and thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace that it may be upon the mitre. Upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. Now get that part right there. You picture this mitre, it's all of gold. It says holiness to the Lord. And it's on Aaron's forehead. Now watch. That Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. Now he's going to tell us what the holy things are. They're those which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. Everything they set aside to give to God. And it shall be always upon his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. Now the signet read on this mitre read holiness to the Lord. So you have a picture of Christ our high priest who is our holiness to the Lord. That's what the picture is. Now, verse 38 says, it was upon our high priest. It's upon Christ our high priest, so that he might bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel, all God's elect, shall hallow, which they separate out for God, to give to God in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. Now, believer, we know from Revelation, the Scripture says, by the blood of Christ, he's made us priests unto God. That's what he's done. He's made us priests unto God. And so now we can come before God and serve God. And we can offer to God offerings of thanksgiving. The calves of your lips, thanksgiving in our praise of God. Thanksgiving in whatever we do for God, in the service of God, such as coming to worship Him, or giving an offering for the furtherance of the gospel, or our time to work on a building, or whatever it is we're doing, those are called holy gifts. But we're so sinful in ourselves. Our flesh is so sinful that we defile those holy gifts. We can't just offer them up of ourselves and God receive them, because we defile them with our sin. But get this now. God says right here, they're still holy things. How are they holy things when my sin defiles everything I do before the Lord? It's because Christ on the cross, our high priest, bore the iniquity of all our holy things. He bore the sin of every gift you would offer. Isn't that amazing? When we think of Christ bearing our sin, we think of him bearing the sin of our rebellion against God. He bore the sin of your serving God too. Everything that we do as believers to God, He bore the sin of that I commit every time I stand and preach the gospel. He bore that sin too. So that whatever we do may be accepted before the Lord. Look over at 1 Peter 2, and I'll show you this in the New Testament so you can see it clearly. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 5. He says, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Now look, and you're a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's how they're acceptable, by Christ. Now go to Ecclesiastes 9, and I'll show you what all this means for you and I who've been sanctified. You've been set apart by God, made holy by Christ, so that you don't look anywhere else but the Lord Jesus Christ for your holiness, for your acceptance with God. Then here's the good news for you. This is the good news for you. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Amen. Let's stand together. Our Father, we thank you that you sent your only begotten Son to bear all our iniquity, that we might be accepted of you. Lord, thank you for making it so that we can worship you and do for you, and you will accept it. Thank you that Christ is our only holiness. Lord, sanctify your people. Sanctify some lost sinner today and set him apart and make him holy by the Spirit of regeneration. We ask it, Lord, that you might be glorified in his heart and glorified in every heart here. Cause us this day to see Christ and remember his broken body and his shed blood. And forgive us, Lord, of our sin. Forgive us for looking at the sin of our brethren and for looking at our own sin and being doubtful and or for looking at anything we do that's good. Make us look to Christ only. We ask this in His precious name. Amen.